Chart-topping pop icon and footy mad Paul Eaton has scored a dream goal. He'll perform one of his biggest ever headline solo gigs at the home of his beloved Sheffield United's Bramall Lane ground on Sunday, May 25th next year. Impressive support is from Britpop legends Shed Seven of the Lightning Seeds. Tickets go on sale or pre-sale on Thursday, October 10th at 9:30, and they're at www.pauleaton.co.uk and at www.ctickets.com. Then they go on general sale on Friday, October the 11th, that's if there's any left, at 9:30. So you can see full details and links all in this post. And when that caravan of love rolls into town, it'll unite more than just Blades and Owls fans with music fans far and wide set to party with the former frontman from the House Martins and Beautiful South, whose solo career has also established him as a global superstar with hits including Caravan of Love, Happy Hour, A Little Time, Song Forever. I could go on, couldn't I? But it'll also feature tracks from his brand new album, The Mighty Several, which has been produced by Ian Brodie of the Lightning Seeds, and it's out also on Friday, October the 11th. And to tell us all about this fantastic concert, the album, and a little bit more, my very special guest today is the man himself. Paul, buddy, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, yeah. Thanks for the intro.
Well, do you know what? What a great thing to introduce as well. Now, you've played some of the biggest and most famous concert venues and festivals, but a huge solo outdoor concert on the Allied Turf at Sheffield United, in terms of bucket list gigs, is this your perfect 10?
Well, I have played there before.
I know, but I'm going to ask you about that in a minute.
At the Tony Curry testimonial, but we sort of were playing at the side, we were playing in a John Street stand, actually, I think, if I remember rightly. So there was a long way, all the way across the pitch, which was empty because of the football, to the main stand and south stand, and so it was a bit of a weird one anyway. I think Black Lace were playing there that day as well. So,
yeah, October the 5th, 1986, I was there 38 years ago, and you were supporting Sharp Cuts and Black Lace. A bit different this next time around.
Yeah, I feel as though we've come on since then. I've seen Black Lace backstage at one of the Radio 2 gigs we've done recently, and it was neither of the originals. It was just people younger than me in it.
Well, it's going to be the original Paul Eaton. And just to remind everybody, you know, I mean, after you performed there, you must have sparked something, because since then there's been Bruce Springsteen, Rod Stewart, Def Leppard. But, I mean, you're going to be back there now. It's going to be a big deal for you, particularly because of your involvement with the club. How did this one come about? Is it something that was on your bucket list? Did you make it happen, or were you kind of offered it?
We were thinking of doing it a couple of years ago, actually, and it didn't fall into place because I think it was the Women's World Cup. The pitch was either being taken up just before it, or it was actually being used. So we didn't manage to make that come together, but so it's been about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. So it's not really a bucket list thing, but it's going to be really special because obviously that's a place where I've been going as a kid since the 60s. You know, I first went in 1968 or 9, I think it was. So even when I go for a football match, it brings back all sorts of memories. So going for a gig and playing a gig, it will be really special for me, you know.
I'm sure it will. I just wondered, I mean, obviously, I would have imagined that you'll find it quite emotional. What will be going through your head when you perform there to a sea of fans at Bramall Lane?
Don't mess up is what always goes through my head before I go on stage. Don't say anything daft, you know. I'm keen to go on and welcome everybody from Sheffield to...
If anybody knows about rivalry, it'll be you. I think both your brothers, they're Sheffield Wednesday fans, am I right?
They are, yeah. So I was taken to Hillsborough first before I went to Bramall Lane. So, yeah, they're both Wednesdayites. But I wouldn't have thought it would stop them from going.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say, I guess you're wanting to bring both sides of the city and football fans from everywhere together for something very special.
Well, yeah, I mean, oddly enough, also, anyway, as a side a side thing. I think both teams are struggling in a similar capacity at the moment with owners that perhaps some of the fans don't like. I'll put it as politely as I can. So there is a sort of unity there. There's a bit of rivalry as well. But yeah, I'm keen for anybody to go. You know, like we've had people. Obviously, we played at Doncaster and Stockport, and as soon as the ground is full, hopefully, it doesn't really matter what. You know, you're just there for a sing-along, which I think is why it's good that we've got Shed 7 and the Lightning Seeds. Is it's not like going to be a load of bands people don't know. It's people of they're a bit younger than me. Shed 7 and Lightning Seeds are about my age, so I would have thought there's a certain person from Sheffield who will know all the songs of every band. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you said, it's not your first time there. It's your first time there, I think. Well, obviously since you were in the House Martins. And do you have any special memories of that gig and how special that was for you? And how will this one compare?
I don't. It was a weird one for us that one, because I think we'd been playing the Leadbill the night before, which we always loved, and which is a good example actually. The Leadmill of bringing Sheffield together, as it happens. But we played the Leadmill the night before. Then we sort of rushed to get ready, and I played, I think, I don't know, maybe we played before the match. I think we must have played before the match. Played the match. I played the first half, and then we had to scoot off up to Newcastle in our little van and do a gig there. So it was all very rushed. So I'm hoping this time I'll have a chance to sort of breathe it in a bit more. And I did enjoy playing in the match. It was a real privilege to play with the players. Well, I don't know how I managed to angle myself into the team, but, you know, I was playing next to Billy Bremner and Jeff Hurst and George Best and Roy McFarlane, etc.
Well, I'm just reflecting, Paul, on the artwork I've seen for this gig. I've seen there's a picture of you in what looks like nostalgia gear now, but was that taken at the time?
It was, but it's been coloured in a different colour. Yeah, no doubt we'll try and do some sort of programme for the event. But yeah, there's a few photographs of me both playing, but also in the lineup before the match. Brilliant. You know, like and in the changing room. I think it was probably Andy Dakin who fixed it up at the time.
Oh, I know Andy, right. Well, if anybody were going to fix it, it'd be Andy. You were talking about the team not doing too well in one way this year, what with the ownerships and stuff, but you're in second place, 6 wins, 3 draws, you know, you've got a big derby, 2 derbies coming up in November and March, there's a lot happening. I've got to ask you, which would you rather have in 2024, a number one album with the Mighty Several, which is out this Friday, or Sheffield United promoted back into the Premiership?
Oh, I'm not a fan of, I love promotion, you know, some of the best times we've had as fans have been promotion, whether it been from the 4th division to the 3rd or League 1 to the Championship. But I don't think many Sheffield United fans have any strong desire to be back in the Premiership. Unless you've got a totally different bank balance, and I'm not blaming anybody here, but the gulf now between even the top 6 or 7 sides in the Premiership is getting bigger. There's the odd result, obviously. I think Sunday had a couple of odd results, but in general, so I would rather have a number one album, but I don't think it's going to go to number one. And I've had plenty of number ones and twos and threes, so I'm satisfied with that.
Listen, you talk to your friends, your mates to Shed 7, they'll tell you it's all doable. And if anybody's due one, Paul, it's you.
Well, the last two have gone to number one, so I'm not too bothered.
Hi. Brilliant. All right, yeah. Well, look, I've also just got to ask you about the gig itself, because obviously there'll be a big expectation level. You've got a fantastic songbook. You could perform there for 5 hours and not play everything. What can fans expect? Are you going to get all the hits and the new album?
Yeah, I mean, I think the larger the audience we play to, the more it tends to be for everyone, if you see what I mean. So if we're playing a small not a small club, but if we're playing a smaller venue, we realise there's a lot of people who are fans who will like all the new stuff. But in a bigger venue like Bramall Lane, or it's not a venue, it's a stadium, we're more likely to make it more hits-based. We will play a couple of new ones. We'll play maybe 5 or 6 House Martin tracks, maybe 10 Beautiful South, maybe 12 Beautiful South songs, and just mix it up a bit. But there'll be plenty of stuff that people recognise.
Without a doubt. Now, your recent Glastonbury gig, it was fantastic. And with that, obviously, we a lot of us got introduced to your new backing singer, Rhiannon Downey, who I think features on the new album. Great voice. And she's a very memorable performance at this year's Glastonbury with her. But that obviously was in the absence of your longtime collaborator, the equally absolutely amazing Jackie Abbott, who's not been able to perform due to illness. Please pass on our best wishes to Jackie. I just wondered, in future, any plans to reunite and will she perform with you again?
I really don't know. She's sort of, I don't blame her for this, but she's taken the decision to sort of cut herself off, really. She's gone off social media and she's not communicating directly with anybody.
Yeah.
So, I sort of will probably do the same if I didn't feel as though I could sing or if I was stressed out about things. So at the moment I can't say, but there's not been anything, you know, there's not been any unpleasantries that would suggest that can't happen. That's what all I'd say, you know, and in time I'm sure we'll be back in touch, and I just ask her how she's feeling. But she wasn't able to commit to things that you sort of have to, you know. Probably people who saw the last album might have noticed that she wasn't on either of the two videos, because she just didn't turn up. Yeah. So we just had to, you know, improvise without her. So, and the same with the tours, she had to pull out. And again, I don't blame her, because she's got a situation at home that throws a spanner in the works at the last minute. And the people who care for her eldest son, they're getting on, her mum and dad, you know. And so it became really untenable, you know, for her to turn around and say, yes, I'll be there.
Yeah.
But, and as I said, it happened at the last minute.
But the fact is, you know, you've got a great band, and Rhiannon is fabulous, and everybody's going to have an absolutely wonderful time, as they will when they listen to the new album that's just been produced by Ian Brodie from Three Lions Icons Lightning Seas. What can you tell us about the new album? We've heard Fish and Chip Supper and Small Boats, I love. Sounds very social observation stuff from me again. What can you tell us about the album?
I'm not very good at promoting new stuff. I just tend to sort of record it, sing it, and sure, it's much of the same, you know, like it's a pop album, you know, like I haven't tried to complicate things. Ian, I think, has pushed the production in a good, positive way, you know, and he brought a lot to the process. He really did look at all the instruments and cared for the musicians. But in terms of themes, it's the usual themes of loss and love and pubs and politics. So I can't really say more than that.
There is one title track on there that I've seen called National Treasure. I just wondered, is that written about anyone or inspired by anybody particularly?
No, I think it's sort of inspired by the fact that we have these people who we sort of tout as national treasures, and it's almost sort of like, I don't know how you'd put it, almost like setting yourself up for the fall. And I think the real national treasures, in my opinion, are people that, you know, do the hidden work, and, you know, the nurses and et cetera. So it's sort of directed towards people whose jobs are actually treasurable, if you see what I mean, rather than their status.
Okay.
Because that's sort of what I believe in, you know.
Okay, I get that. Obviously, we've always regarded you, Paul, as an icon, a legend, and dare I say a national treasure. And you've put yourself on the map pretty much recently by maybe not drinking as much as you used to do, but putting a few quid behind the bar for people who want to come and celebrate when you've been playing concerts locally. Any plans for that at Bramall Lane?
Well, Sheffield United fans have expensive drinking tastes. So I'll see. I'll see how much money I'm making from the gig. And yeah, it's never, as long as people are, you know, I'll always do things like that. I haven't got any particular plans for anything, but I tend to do it spare of the moment. If I hear that people need a drink.
Brilliant. So it's all right, well, listen, Paul, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, just as it is indeed a pleasure to listen to you sing. Absolutely love your career, and what a celebration this is going to be at Bramall Lane. I'm just going to remind everybody again that it's on Sunday, May 25th, 2025. Tickets on pre-sale Thursday and then general sale on Friday. And we'll have all ticket details on this post. Paul, as ever, thank you ever so much for your time, and we'll speak to you soon, buddy.
All right, thanks, Graham.
Thanks, mate.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, see you there, buddy. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Thanks.